Greetings, dear friends, in that ever-precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have a wrong view about Him, the Lord Jesus, is to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. Reading today from Colossians chapter 3, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. During past broadcasts, we have already looked at the first three verses of this third chapter of Colossians, and so we will pass on today to verse 4. But in so doing, I want to just reread these verses again from the New International Version and trust they will be a blessing to your heart. We read once again Colossians 3 and 1, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Let's notice in particular, if you will, the thought that we find in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. This is something that every true believer should be looking forward to, because when he does appear, we have a promise. Then, he says, shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christian friend, I want to ask you, are you anxious about that time when the blessed Lord Jesus will come and will be taken from this scene to appear with him in glory? Paul, here in writing to the Colossians, to climax his description of the believer's portion in Christ, he now looks on to Christ coming again, the return of the Lord Jesus for his church. When he, notice what it says, he who is our life. I want to ask you today, is Christ indeed your life? Do you really know him in such an intimate way that you can say with the apostle, Christ is indeed my life? Paul says, when he does appear, when he who is our life shall be manifested, then we shall also be manifested with him in glory. At the present time, we are raised with him. We are enjoying a life that is not seen or understood by men. But the day is coming, and I believe soon, when the Lord Jesus will return for his saints. And then it will be manifested. Then we will be revealed with him in glory. And then men will understand us and realize why we lived and behaved and conducted ourselves as we did while here on earth. They'll realize why our priorities were different from theirs, why our goals were distinct and separate from the goals of the rank and file of this world. Notice now, mortify, verse 5 tells us, put to death, crucify, therefore, in view of all of this. When you see the word therefore, it's been suggested you stop and see what it's there for. And this therefore refers back to these first four verses in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, in view of the fact that you're risen with Christ, in view of the fact that you're dead with Christ, in view of the fact that your life is hidden with Christ in God, in view of the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to return, the one who is our life, and when he does appear, we're going to be manifested with him in glory. In view of all of these things, Paul says, therefore, put to death your members which are upon the earth. And he mentions them. Ugly things, aren't they? Fornication, uncleanness, etc. In verse 3, we're told that we died. Here we're told to mortify, therefore, our members which are on the earth. In these two verses, verses 3 and 5 of Colossians chapter 3, in these two verses we have a very clear illustration of the difference between a believer's standing and state. Please hear me, friend. The confusion that exists in the teaching and minds of many people on the difference between standing and state is what causes so many people to not understand the Word of God. It's what causes so many people to think they have to earn their salvation when they read scriptures about the believer's state and think it has to do with their standing. In Paul's writings here in Colossians 3, his standing is that he has died. His state is that it should be that of reckoning himself dead to sin by mortifying, by putting to death, by crucifying his members which are upon the earth. Our standing, please note, is what we are in Christ by the grace of God. Our state is what we are in ourselves. Our standing is the free gift of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our state represents our response to God's grace. I'd like to share with you some thoughts expressed in a little book by Dr. C.I. Schofield, a little book he wrote many years ago entitled Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And in this little booklet, he outlines some of the things that avoid much confusion in Bible study. For example, he deals with the difference between the Jew and the Gentile and the Church of God. Some people don't make any distinction, and they claim or apply the promises of the Jew to the Gentile, or the Gentile to the Church of God, or vice versa. There are those who cannot recognize the distinctions between the various dispensations or time periods in the Word of God, and therefore there's much confusion and misunderstanding in the Word of God. There are two advents concerning the coming of Christ, and when these are merged together and made fuzzy, man cannot understand the truth of God. There are those who teach that there's a general resurrection and a general judgment. Not so in the Word of God. We find two distinct resurrections, and we find at least five judgments. And then there's law and grace that is always confused by many people. And then we come to the believer's two natures, and finally this thing called the believer's standing and state. And here's what he says, and I think it's excellent. Listen carefully, if you will. A distinction of vast importance to the right understanding of the Scriptures, especially to the epistles, is that which concerns the standing or position of the believer, and then his state or walk. The first, that is the standing or position of the believer, is the result of the work of Christ, and is perfect and entire from the very moment the Lord Jesus Christ is received by faith. Nothing in the afterlife of the believer adds in the smallest degree to his title of favor with God, nor to his perfect security. Through faith alone, this standing before God is conferred, and before him, the weakest person, if he be but a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has precisely the same title as the most illustrious saint. Now, what that title or standing is may be briefly seen from the following scriptures. Now, I don't know whether time will permit or not, but the file of scriptures on this particular subject is long, but it well deserves our study and consideration. For example, let's look at a few of them as time permits. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Friend, if you have been born again, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:12 tells you about your standing, your position with God. From 1 John 5:1, we read, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Romans 8:17, if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. 1 Peter 1:4 and 5 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Please underline that word now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Is this not what we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4? We shall be manifested with him. We could go on, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us unto kings and priests unto God and His Father. Colossians 2:10. We saw it in previous broadcasts. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Romans 5 tells us that we are justified by faith. 1 John tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And we don't have time to conclude the list. But to illustrate today the difference between our standing and our state, let's consider the believers who were in Corinth. If you study carefully the credentials of the church at Corinth, there's not many true believers. There is not many who really know the Lord Jesus who would really want to be a part of that Corinthian church, or a 20th century church who is like the church that was at Corinth. For example, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about their standing under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 11, concerning these sanctified folks, it says, it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. That's their state. Sanctified in Christ, yes. But as to their state, as to their walk before God, there were contentions. Again, concerning their standing, their position before God in Christ, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But now, again, what about their condition? What about their state, their walk before God? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He goes on in the 4th chapter. But some are puffed up, chapter 5, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, that he might be taken away from among you. Do you see the difference, friend? There is a difference in your standing, your position in Christ as God sees you, and what you are in your daily walk. Granted, our walk should back up what we are in Christ. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in the 3rd chapter of Colossians. He's saying, because of this holy, sanctified position you have before God in Christ, now go out and live like it. Because we are saved and have eternal life, that's not a license to sin. To the contrary, he says, put to death all of these things and live to the glory of God. And friend of mine, you can do that only when you're in Christ. Because once you're in Christ through trusting the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit then dwells within your body and gives you the power to live Christ-like to the glory of God. Call us if we can be of any help. And may the Lord bless you today. For His name's sake, we pray. Amen.